Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening to WAMS. And today, a very timely topic as we broadcast live in the shadow of our nation's capital today. America has not seen this distressed a job market since the Great Depression. Unemployment in some areas approaching 20% in this country. Could you be next? Are there signs that you're about to lose your job? And if you're looking for work, what's the strategy to get back to the gainfully employed? Our guest is employment specialist Charles Manila. He switched sides from being one of these guys that can help you as an employee hang on to your job or know when it's about to leave. And if you are not sure exactly where you're going to go with this whole thing, you'll have an opportunity to get gainfully employed. If you'd like to be a part of the program, our number is 718-506-1944. Charles Manila, welcome to the program.
Welcome.
Now, let's talk first and foremost about this epidemic of over 15 million unemployed workers, and they say now over 20 million more out looking for a job in the U.S. at any given time. If you're still one of those people who are lucky enough to have a job, are there telltale signs you can watch for that might tell you that your job is in jeopardy?
Yes, there are. There's a few, actually, and I'll get to the first one. First, you get a new boss. Probably the biggest warning sign that you're about to lose your job is when you change bosses, because the new boss is usually free to challenge everything, shake things up at work. They usually want to bring in one or more members of their own staff. And the higher up the chain of command you are, in other words, if you're a manager, director, vice president, executive, you're much more at risk than you are if you're a line worker or a staff worker.
So the old saw that the more money you make, the more replaceable you are really does play out in today's economy.
Exactly. And also the new boss will be watching you. I mean, even if the boss retains you, it's kind of like an unofficial probation period for 60, 90 days. The new boss will be watching and evaluating each employee. So even if you retain your job, there's a 2 or 3 month window where you're being watched.
You talk about watching out for cash flow problems in the company or a dwindling budget, hiring freezes. Are those all pretty telltale signs that you may be next to it with your head on chopping block?
But, and they could be. It depends on the type of company. For example, sudden cash flow problems. If you find out that your company has problems paying its bills, they receive calls from angry vendors for non-payment. Or if your employer temporarily halts the direct deposit of your paycheck or stops 401k matching contributions, those are all signs that your employer is having cash flow problems. And the easiest way to fix that is by laying off or firing employees.
We're talking with job consultant Charles Manila about signs you're possibly going to lose your job. If you'd like to find out more, pick up Charles' book called Build Your Employment Fortress, How to Find and Keep a Great Job in Today's Changing Economy. How important is the buzz around the office, what you might hear, in the break room, the grapevine, if you will? Is that a reliable source of where things are within the company, and should you pay attention to it or not so much?
You should. It's an invaluable source of information that should be filtered, not discarded. In fact, nearly every worker interviewed for my book got wind of a layoff before it happened. You through the grapevine, which means keep your ears open around the water cooler, break room, or the company watering hole for any budget cuts, department reorganizations, sudden cash flow problems, hiring freezes, early retirement incentives. The rumor mill was much more accurate than you think of. And again, as I said earlier, every worker interviewed for the book got wind of the layoff through the rumor mill, through the grapevine before it happened.
The book that Charles refers to, Build Your Employment Fortress, is available now online and at bookstores everywhere. Visit waterlilypublishing.com if you'd like to pick up a copy. Now let's switch sides a little bit. You spent some time in the HR department in human resources and labor relations, quite a few years as a matter of fact. What about job hunting? Are there any tips that you can give that you've seen? And I'm sure you've seen folks, you know, probably thousands down through the years, who've done this well and then done it badly. What are some of the common mistakes that job applicants make when they're out there in the hunt for a new position?
Well, first mistake is that they have no plan or goals. They treat their job search, you know, not as a job, but they just treat it, you know, whatever comes up. So the first mistake is tell you to treat the job search as a job, and that means creating a job search action plan, coming up with identifying target employers, items like that. The second mistake is having a bad resume, because that's really your calling card, and employers use that as a pre-screening tool. So if you don't have a killer resume, they look for reasons to disqualify candidates, and that's the biggest reason, your resume. And that's based on you have an incomplete resume, you have typos, it's generic, it really doesn't address the job requirements. You fail to use the keywords in the job posting. And that's an important item because most of the employers, once they get your resume, either online or hard copy, they scan it into a database. And software is used to find out if your resume addresses keywords in the job post. And if you don't, they usually put it in the slush file and you don't get interviewed. And the other item is there's no cover letter to the resume, which shows that, you know, your resume might have been there. The employer is maybe one of 50 resumes you sent out in a day. You need to customize and make your resume specific for each job posting. And you do that best using a cover letter.
Those are great tips, and especially the piece about the keywords. As a former HR person, how important was grammar and spelling and punctuation when you reviewed resumes? Would you automatically file people, you know, out of the active stack if they made those kinds of mistakes?
Exactly, by default. It's a great pre-screening tool because employers, you know, they may receive 1,000 resumes for one job. And what's the first thing that you do? You try to wean that 1,000 resumes down to a manageable number, maybe 50 or 100. And you do that by, you know, discarding the resumes that are poorly written, incomplete, and have typos. The next mistake is that a lot of the job seekers rely on outdated job search strategies. Since only 5% of jobs are advertised, potential job hunters need to focus on the hidden job market opportunities. And how do you do that? The first way is to engage in daily networking. You need to identify your network, which is your business associates, your friends, your personal people that you know, stuff like that. And what you do is you let them know that you're looking for a job and let them go out and basically use you. You know, they branded you. You give them a copy of your resume, and they're the ones out looking for you for a job. 60% of all jobs are filled out or filled using the network. In other words, by word of mouth, from recommendations from an employee or whatever. The second thing you need to do is contact potential employers directly. 25% of all jobs are filled by the applicant targeting the employer, phone calling the human resource department or going online to their website to identify job openings because, again, most of the jobs are unadvertised. So the key is to try to find the unadvertised job. You do that through your network, and then through contacting your target employers directly.
With Charles Manila about how to build your employment fortress, how to find and keep a great job in today's changing economy. If you'd like to pick up Charles' book, it's available at waterlilypublishing.com. You talked for a moment there in terms of the job search in saying that there's such a small percentage of these jobs that are ever actually posted. If you do see something in the newspaper, chances are, is it too late at that point? Do you really need to get ahead of those help wanted ads?
Well, it makes it much more difficult. And, for example, you may send out 1,000 resumes for posted job openings, and that may result in only 5 or 6 interviews. If you find unadvertised job openings, your potential, your hit rate is what I call that. Your probability of success is about 50% greater by finding the job and applying for it before it becomes advertised, because you are competing against much less job applicants than if it's advertised in the newspaper or on the website.
Charles, we hear a lot in the media today about social networks, Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, and primarily you hear that folks lose job opportunities. because of inappropriate things they posted on their personal Facebook pages. Are you finding more and more human resource people are scanning social networking sites before they hire people? And can that be a detriment to you getting a job?
Well, it's definitely a consideration. It's a great pre-screening tool for employers. The first thing they usually do will do a Google search on you. And a lot of things will pop up from that search. And that could include social networks as well. That's a little bit more harder to tap on Facebook. It just depends on the security controls you have on your Facebook page. But the key component is a Google search is what most employers will do, smart employers. And they want to see what's out there. And they'll compare the Google search results against your resume to see if there's any disparities or gaps.
Is there anything you can do to take advantage of these things?
Yes. Well, you know, if I'm an applicant, the one social network site I would use is LinkedIn, is where you get to create basically an employer or business profile, and you get to post a resume and other things, and you have complete control. Whereas Facebook, it's more of a social network between you and your friends and so forth, and you really don't control the content so much. So social networks, the one I would use which has an employment focus is LinkedIn.
Okay, so LinkedIn is the way to go. Make sure that you don't have inappropriate material up on your social networking sites. You talked about becoming your own recruiter in looking for a job. What do you mean by that?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, becoming your own recruiter, a lot of applicants will find an employer and go to work as a consultant, a temporary employer, or a contract employee. And for the employer, the advantage they have is that's basically they get to monitor you. You're basically in a probation period. So smart employers will a lot of times hire from that pool of consultants and temp workers and contract employers. They'll pick the cream of the crop. And so you recruit yourself by trying to get in the front door using any of those three mechanisms. And in the long run, you've recruited yourself into the company by being hired as a contract employer or a consultant. And then your performance determines whether you get the job or not.
Charles Manila is our guest. His book is Build Your Employment Fortress from Waterlily Publishing. If someone comes to you, Charles, with your background in employee benefits, labor relations, human resources, and says, look, I really need to get back to work. I want to get it done, and I'd like to be back to work in 30 days. Is that a pipe dream in today's economy, or are there ways and specific recommendations you can make to our listeners on how to get to work in 30 days?
Well, yes, it's possible. But the first thing to do is focus on what employers are looking for today from job candidates. So we need to come up with a job search action plan. You need to identify targeted employers that you want to work for that require your skill set. And that may be based on target employees in your local area, maybe within the state, maybe nationwide. Whatever your target employer base is, you need to identify that. And then number two, you need to identify what employers are looking for. And one of the most important items that any employer wants from job applicants is how do you add value to an employer? And the reason they ask that is because before you get to the interview, they're already going to assume that you're technically qualified for the position. So, since everyone's technically qualified, what sets you apart from the other job applicants? And what employers are looking for is applicants who are the best fit. And that means employees who can add value. And you do that by in your resume, including examples like how you've reduced cost, how you've helped increase profitability, you've completed projects on time, and how you've improved customer satisfaction. All of those show how you add value to an employer. The critical success factors an employer is looking for, you need to consider that when you're looking for a job. They are looking for traits such as, are you a team player? Are you reliable at work? Do you show up? Because absenteeism rates and turnover rates are tied to unreliability. Are you a problem solver? You need to find out what these traits are so you can address them in your resume, and that sets you apart from the other applicants. You also need to look if you're an internal job candidate. What that means is that if your job is in jeopardy, you have a job, but you feel you're going to lose it, what you need to do is look internally, find out are there any other job openings within the company, because most employers would much rather hire an existing or internal employer than going outside and taking an unknown quantity. The next item is candidates
Manila,
recommended by company employees.
We're almost out of time. I have a feeling this is going to be one of the broadcasts that the podcast will get listened to an awful lot. You've packed a lot of great, very meaty advice into the last 15 minutes. And thank you very much for joining us today.
You bet. Appreciate it, Bruce. You have a great day.
You bet. Charles Manila is our guest. The book is Build Your Employment Fortress. If you need more information, log on to waterlilypublishing.com. I'm Burke Allen in Washington, D.C. Now go out and make it a great day.